It's good to see you all this morning. I'm glad we were all able to catch the change in time. That was always helpful. Would you please turn with me in your Bible to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans? Romans chapter 3, and I will read verses 21 through 31. We're going to be looking at justification comes from God, and it's by faith alone in Christ alone. Would you please follow along with me as I read our Lord's holy word? My friends in Christ, hear the words of our God. By now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. I know several of you are scribbling down notes, and these are the four things that we will look at today. There's a lot here. In fact, this could be broken down into four series of messages, or even five, where we could really look into every little nut and bolt and cranny. But I wanted to do it more as in look at all of them together. It's like a whole package. I want you to first, we will look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. What we're talking about is a God-given righteousness. That's the first thing we're going to look at, a God-given righteousness. And that's Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. The next thing that we will be looking at after that is Romans 3 and verses 22 through 24, which tells us that we are not saved by the law, but through faith alone. And that is a gift of God, right? So that's the second thing that we'll look at. And each one of these, we could make a whole series out of the stuff. It's so full. The third thing we will look at is Romans 3, and that'll be 25 and 26. And this is truly the heart of the gospel. We'll read through these verses and blow right by them, and we'll miss it, and this is what we're going to be leaning on today. This is where Christ fully bore the wrath of God on the cross. And we'll be talking about this because Christ gives us his perfect righteousness as a gift. This is what Christ gives you. He gives you and me righteousness. And I'm going to give you a lot of terms today that are theological terms that some of you know, and I don't know if others know it or not, but we'll be talking about that in a minute. And then the fourth thing has to do with Romans 3 and verses 27 through 31. Where believers do not have anything to boast in regarding their salvation. So, as we start, would you look with me at Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 21. And I'm going to read verse 21. And then I'm going to ask you to pause, and then we're going to look at Romans 3, verse 20. Notice what he says here, Romans 3, 21. But now, the righteousness, does yours say of God or from God?
Of.
Well, actually, a tighter translation would be from God. It makes more sense. The righteousness that comes from God of fits, but you get the idea. Your righteousness comes from God, has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Notice with me that there's a transition that the Apostle Paul's letter at this point. I'm now going to read Romans 3:20. For by the works of the law, no human being is justified in his, that his there is the Father's sight. Because we have to be just before the Father in heaven. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin, we know the minimum standard is the Mosaic law. Does that make sense to you? That's the minimum standard. And so your righteousness cannot come through the law. The law has no power to save you. It can tell you this is the minimum standard that you have to reach to come into God's sight. Does that make sense? If you don't meet the standard, you don't come into God's sight. Here's the standard. So watch what he says. Back to verse 21, Romans 3, 21. But now there is a righteousness. But now, you know the standard. That's the minimum. But now, a righteousness comes from somewhere else. It doesn't come from the law. It tells you this is what you have to do. It's the minimum law. And that righteousness cannot come from you. It comes from outside of yourself. And we know this because Paul has been talking all along in his letter, and I just chose one section. It was in that Romans 3:10 section where he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Remember, he had that whole long section? So it isn't coming from you. But here in Romans 3:21, he says, but now, he's changing the subject matter. Now there's hope. That's what he's talking about. There is a God-given righteousness that comes from God. Notice the verse says, but now the righteousness from God has been manifested or made obvious apart from the law. Even though it has been spoken about in the law and from the prophets. They were all talking about another day when there would be a righteousness. This is the minimum standard, and the prophets kept saying, there's someone coming who will make you righteous. That's what they're all talking about. The Redeemer for those who wrestle and prevail with God. And that's what he's been talking about. And he says, but now, verse 31, it has been made known to you. The righteousness which the Apostle Paul was speaking about is alien to natural men, since he is spiritually deprived and living in a state of sin. We're conceived in sin, born in sin, and brought up in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. You hear? That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? All, Jew and Gentile, have all sinned, every single one. And so sinful men need a righteousness which comes from outside of themselves. Something no one can produce in and of themselves. And this is what Paul is trying to point out in the previous chapters. What did he do? He just went from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, all the way into Romans chapter 3. And what has he been talking about? No one. You're helpless. You're hopeless. And now he's saying, I am talking to you about what is your help, where your hope is found, what it is going to be placed in. And my friends, as I was looking and researching and looking this up, I've heard guys say this is the core of the gospel message. This is the seed of the Apostle Paul's gospel message. He is now going to tell you, this is the gospel message. You are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the term that we will be looking at is sola fide and then sola Christos. By faith alone, in Christ alone. If you and I have anything else, guess what? You're guessing, and you're guessing wrong. And so, both Jews and Gentiles need righteousness, which comes from outside of themselves, which the Apostle Paul called having faith in Christ alone, and he gives it as a gift. Now, would you notice with me, how do we acquire this righteousness? How do you and I get it? Would you please follow along with me, reading Romans chapter 3 and verses 22 through 24, because we're going to be talking about a person becoming justified before the eyes of God. And so how does a person become righteous? Notice what he says. It's Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. The righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. And there is no distinction. And here he reiterates something he talked about in almost three chapters. For all, Jew and Gentile, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And now this is the core. This is the seed, and are justified by his grace as a gift. His is the Father. Are justified by his, the Father's grace as a gift. And it's through the redemption, the redeeming act that is found in Christ Jesus. So what are the means by which a person is declared righteous before God the Father? I want to point out the negatives first and then go to the positives. It's not by the Mosaic law. He's already been telling us that, hasn't he? And it's not by the Jewish heritage of just carrying around the word under your elbow. It's not by Jewish rituals. Notice what he says in verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Now, my friends, although the world will tell us otherwise, what we hear commonly is to look inside yourself. And there, and you can draw on that, and you can buck up. Find that energy from within. Find that well within you and draw upon it. What other stuff have you heard? It's all that humanism that they're talking about. The problem is there is no spiritual good within any of us. That was Romans 3:23. All have sinned, and what have we fallen short of? Yes. It isn't me comparing myself with you, or you saying with me. That you've got the wrong mindset. You're being compared with the holiness of God Himself. That's the comparison. We're talking about absolute perfection and holiness. And so we need to be justified and be able to be, that God can look upon us and not strike us dead. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. Look in your bulletin, and I printed this out instead of me just talking about it and preaching through it. I want you to be able to take it home and scribble on it, underline it. And I wanted to give you several things here that are being spoken about. There's actually more, but anyways, I wanted to try to keep it short. Notice what we have where it says justification. Justification, what is it? What is justification? And I have written down here, it is an act of God where He declares a sinner to be righteous. God the Father is declaring you to be righteous. Now, there's several terms I was going to mention to you, and this is one of them. This is called or known as imputed righteousness. Do you see it there? Imputed righteousness or double imputation. This is where my sin is imputed to Jesus and Jesus' righteousness is imputed to me. And in this twofold transaction, we see that God, who does not negotiate or compromise regarding sin, accepts Jesus Christ's righteousness and applies Christ's righteousness to our person. Also, at the same time, applying our sinfulness to Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross. Did you hear what he was saying? That's the term. We call it substitutionary atonement, whereas there's several terms, and everyone is attempting to describe the massive work that Jesus Christ accomplished. He represents you and me. He was perfect. And when God condemned him on the cross for being hung on the tree, then all of our sin was placed upon him. And the Father looked away. And Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he's been righteous his whole life. He was condemned, and then he died. And he was righteous. And because of that righteousness, God the Father says, I cannot let that stand. And what did the Father in heaven do? Resurrected Jesus Christ 3 days later, and he's the only one that has come back from the grave and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we call this the imputation of righteousness or double imputation. Jesus Christ, he took my sin upon himself, and he gave me his righteousness as a gift from God. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That is all that Paul is pointing out. It wasn't by law. It wasn't by any rituals. It's nothing else. It's Jesus Christ giving you his righteousness as a gift. That's the gospel message that Paul's going to be now expanding after this through the rest of his letter, explaining it out in detail, using all kinds of examples. Now, this is where today, when we are listening on the radio, well, do we even listen on the radio anymore? We're online. I wanted to note this for us as well. Under this here, I put note. The Apostle Paul does not say, God is making you righteous. Justification is not you becoming more and more holy and righteous. Justification is about you having a status of righteousness, even though you are not righteous. This is a heavenly legal issue. It is a legal declaration by God the Father himself, declaring that you are now righteous before the Father's eyes, even though you are not righteous. And so the doctrine is about how you are going to heaven. This is what it's talking about. You are righteous because it was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift. You are not righteous. Jesus Christ is righteous. He's giving you the gift of his righteousness. And now the Father can look upon you because he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness, not your righteousness. Now, I put this in here. I put in sanctification. Now, it's not being spoken about in this text, but I put it here for this purpose. Sanctification is us becoming more and more holy and righteous. That means today, hopefully, I am more holy and righteous than I was yesterday because I'm listening to and obeying more of the Word of God today than I did yesterday. That's sanctification. That means I'm daily becoming more obedient to Him. But that is not justification. Now, the reason I point this out is this. You and I will listen to somebody online and they will flip-flop this and mix them. And I love the idea of coming up with their own special something or other. You and I need to be listening. So when we hear somebody online, we can distinguish, oh, he just messed up. He just mixed justification and sanctification. He came up with his own little special something. And that's wrong, because sanctification would then be saying that, if you're saying sanctification, it says, I did something special that God recognized me, and he says, I'll save that person because they did something special. When you say that, then you said, Jesus Christ made the biggest mistake ever, and guess what? He didn't really need to die to be our righteousness. Now, we're not saying that, but that's what we're actually saying when we misunderstand the biblical truths. And so what is righteousness that we're talking about? Righteousness is a righteous status that comes from outside yourself. And that righteous status comes from Jesus Christ alone. Why does it come from Jesus Christ alone? Because he is the only one that propitiated the Father in heaven. Propitiation simply means satisfied. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice, atoning blood, satisfies God the Father's wrath. God the Father's righteous anger needed to be appeased before sin could be forgiven. So when God, in his love, sent his Son to satisfy God's holy anger against sinful mankind by fulfilling all of God the Father's requirements of holiness, therefore, what Jesus Christ did is he propitiated, satisfied God the Father's righteous standard. Righteous standard was Mosaic law, which is the minimum standard of holiness. And we've talked about that later. And the issue here about faith is not just a feeling and it's not an emotion. Faith is looking outside of yourself onto someone else and trusting in it. And this is where the world tells us that just the opposite. Look within yourself and find your inner strength. We are saved through faith, not because of faith. Faith is a gift that is given by God to an unworthy sinner. And we use like the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for you're saved by faith through by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And so note here, when speaking about faith in the Bible, it does not mean intellectual assent. If you're thinking that, you have a bad understanding of what faith means. It's not meaning, oh, I've accumulated a lot of biblical information. Faith in the Bible is embracing something, receiving something, relying on something, and trusting in something. So, in as much as you look to Jesus Christ and trust in God, faith means that you are trusting in Jesus' righteousness and that it can be yours through faith alone in Christ alone. I don't know if that's helpful for you, but that is what Paul is talking about right here in this message. This is the core of the gospel. It is the nuts and bolts of how you were redeemed, saved from your sinful state. And so, my friends, this is a major point in the Word of God. A person is saved through faith, not by faith. It's the hose. It's not the water. You get the idea. The Apostle Paul's argument is not that you are saved because you believe. To say that would obviously be saved. If you're saying, oh, I'm faithful, you're saying, I have merit. I have merit, therefore God will look upon me. And he's going, no, that's a bad understanding. God does not allow anyone into heaven because of your merit. You're getting into heaven because of Jesus Christ's merit, Jesus Christ's righteousness, and he gives you that as a gift. That's why we call that imputation of righteousness or double imputation. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. That's the core of the gospel. And so God does not allow anyone to heaven because of their own righteous status. And so faith is the instrument or the means by which you and I get the righteous status of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe by faith that Jesus Christ is our only hope that has been set up by the Father in heaven before the foundation of the world. This was the process that he put into place, and we believe this is our answer. We believe this is our hope. And so this is key to our understanding that the object of your faith is not faith itself. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, would you notice with me in Romans chapter 3 in verses 25 and 26? So what is the grounds of our justification? And this is the most important point in the Apostle Paul's message for the believers who were Jews and Gentiles in Rome. Paul was simply telling them what Jesus Christ had accomplished and applied. What did Jesus Christ accomplish and what is he applying? To allow us sinners to have a righteous standing before the eyes of God the Father. Follow along. I'll read Romans chapter 3, and I'll start reading in verse 25. And I will put in, I'll change some of those things, pronouns and stuff like that, so it hopefully becomes a little bit better. Verse 25, whom God the Father put forward as a propitiation, satisfaction, by Jesus Christ's blood, that means sacrificial atoning blood, be received by faith. This was to show what? God's righteousness. Because in his, the Father's, divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. In verse 26, it was to show what? His righteousness at the present time. That would have been what? The first advent. So that he, that's the Father, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The Apostle Paul was answering this question. How can God, who is absolutely perfect and holy, come into the presence of sin? We're referring to us. And what he has done, he is saying, I will now be able to come in, they will be able to come into my presence because I will justify them. I will make them just. I will make them righteous. So justification, legal justification, gives you righteousness. Whose righteousness? Jesus Christ's righteousness. The answer is, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ is given to you. You are made, when it is given to you, the Father in heaven looks upon us and he sees a just and righteous person. It's alien to us because it's Christ's righteousness. But he gave given it to us as a gift, and the Father in heaven therefore legally justifies. That's what he says, that he might be just and the justifier. He's doing two things. Even though Jesus Christ never sinned, and we have, there was a flip-flop, an imputed righteousness and an imputed sinfulness. Jesus Christ received all of mankind's sin, and we, the world, have turned around, and we received his righteousness. And now God has is the justifier of us. And so, therefore, what we're talking about is redemption. You were redeemed from your sinfulness, your sinful nature that you were conceived in, born in, and have been living in. Isn't that amazing? And it is only the just and the righteous who are able to go into the presence of God the Father. He is the one that has now said, come, and you are made just, you are made righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so again, this is known as imputed righteousness or double imputation, or maybe you like the term substitutionary atonement. All our attempts at trying to describe the massive, massive amount that has gone on of God being the Father, his holiness being appeased, what Jesus Christ has accomplished by being our representative. He is our prophet, he's our priest, he's our king. He is doing all of these jobs representing us before the Father in heaven. and we are his bride. And so, this truth is at the heart of the Apostle Paul's gospel message. So now, when the Father in heaven looks upon us, our holy God looks down and sees us as righteous, because the Father in heaven was propitiated. He was satisfied by the righteous one-time act of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken away our sins at the cross. He has carried them away. And when he established the new covenant as our high priest, we call it the new covenant in his blood, and that's why we do communion. We remember this one-time act of him accomplishing our righteousness. And he gives it to us the way a husband gives his bride a gift, looking for nothing in return. And so Christ fully took upon himself our sin and gave us life. Would you notice what verse 26 says? Romans chapter 3, verse 26. It was to show, verse 26, it was to show what? What's this all about? His, that's God the Father's, righteousness. This was all to show how righteous God is. And he said, it was as at this present time. So he was saying right now to those friends who were in Rome, the believing Jews, the believing Gentiles that were all in Rome in the house churches there, he says, at that present time, at the time of the first advent, he says, so that he, that would be God the Father, might be the one that will now justify you and me. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And so now Jesus Christ's one-time act of righteousness, of sin-bearing, has come to our advantage. He was being merciful to us, giving it to us as a gift. And so the redemptive work of Jesus Christ upholds the righteous standards of God the Father. Think of that. What Jesus Christ has accomplished upholds the standards of God the Father, and he gives that to you as a gift. And so the Father was satisfied with what he had done, and he's satisfied with that atoning work, that atoning sacrifice. And just a pause moment, what does the Old Testament speak about? What is it built over when you start reading from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? A sacrificial system. It was the shadow of what became real at the time of Christ. It was talking about that what was needed. Leviticus 17:11. Without the sacrifice of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so, he has done this. He has become, as the passage says, that God the Father, may be just towards the sinner, and also be the one who is doing the justifying all at the same time. So that now we, who are not perfect in a practical sense, but we are in a legal sense, in a heavenly sense, we are in the presence of God the Father. And so all of this has been done by faith. Would you notice with me how Paul takes this and tries to wrap it up in a couple of words? It's Romans chapter 3 and verses 28 through 31. For all of this means that no one can boast about what God the Father has done. He has not imputed his holiness, but he has changed us and conformed us to the image of Christ. Notice what verse 28 says. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 8. For we hold that one is, that'd be any person, is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? But that would have been referring to those who held to the Mosaic law, who held to their heritage, held to their rituals and special revelation. Is he not the God of the Gentiles also, that had general revelation, which we talked about earlier? Yes, to Gentiles also, since God is one. He's referring to his Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, who will justify the circumcised by faith, that's by the Jews, and the uncircumcised, that's the people who are not Jewish, or Gentiles. Do we even overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. He's saying we uphold the minimum standard of the law. So where does everyone standing with God the Father come from? How does your standing come about? It's by faith alone in Christ alone. As Romans 3:24 says, this faith is a gift of God to both the Jews and the Gentiles. So now believers are redeemed by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who justified us by imputing his righteousness to us, so that the Father in heaven may declare us just in his sight. And so everyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by the Father in heaven by faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf. And so he says, he ends with, okay, all right, now that we heard this, so if someone is going to say, hey, look at me, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, Paul says, where's the boasting? Where he's the one that's done it all. Don't say, oh, I was a little bit better than her, I was a little bit better than him. No, that's the wrong standard. That's what the world says. Are you a little bit better than them? Are you a little bit quicker? A little bit smarter? It has nothing to do with that. It is a relationship with God, who is perfect, who is holy. And how does that relationship come about? It comes about through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who imputed his righteousness to us as a gift. And at that time, he took our sinful legal issue and carried upon himself on the cross. And this is the gospel message that Paul is going to expand on through the rest of Romans. And so, my friends, it is by faith alone in Christ alone that is what saves you. And now you are considered justified in the eyes of God. And so, shall we close in prayer? Our Father, truly, it is our privilege to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ.